where he taught us a lot about storytelling, and again, he displayed that this morning. It's a privilege to be able to share with you from a global perspective. Often when someone's invited to speak into this space, we think about, oh, yep, we've got to suddenly think about the overseas or the global component. But I think in today's world, the global component can actually speak into our local component. And really, I want to do that a little bit this morning to encourage us as we think about sharing God's love. The go and tell, you know, in the sense of that goat, what stops us? I think one of the things that stops us is dealing with difference. Our capacity to step out of our comfort zone and move into something new. Now, hopefully, yep, great. Moving into something new can be challenging for us, being out of a comfort zone. Now, I stand here, most of you probably don't know me, but I've had a lifetime living in diversity. You know, I grew up as a product of an international marriage. Yes, it was Australia and New Zealand, but it's still an international marriage. A parents who then took us to Papua New Guinea, took us away from Melbourne into Port Moresby, where I spent 6 years of my formative life living in a multi-ethnic community, living in an Indigenous suburb, where my parents discipled local Christians from the local Indigenous church, and they were in our home all the time. My dad was an engineer, so he was doing that as his ministry outside of work. What a tremendous model. Little did I know that that experience would then take me in my own journey of intercultural ministry, which ultimately led to Nigeria in a theological college in the mid-90s. But then we had to come back for personal reasons, which opened up another area of diversity for us, was around disability. And thinking that was the end of our mission journey, God then moved us from Melbourne to Adelaide to be involved in training people to be able to engage diversity, preparing workers to go overseas or locally, to process difference. You know, this fits into our Baptist heritage around mission. You know, the Baptist, it's one of our core values of thinking about our Christian faith, of picking up that Great Commission. But the Great Commission is not the beginning. It starts with God and creation. I haven't got time to unpack that this morning. But it starts with that. We have a history of that. We have William Carey. I won't ask the kids now who is William Carey. But the kids can ask, their parents can ask the kids who are William Carey. Because that will introduce them to one of our first Baptist missionaries who went to India and started a movement that went globally beyond the Baptist world. We live within Australia with Global Interaction coming out of Flinders Street Baptist here in Adelaide back in the 1860s and the 1880s. Flinders Street Baptist was where Global Interaction, as it's now known, started. Most people don't realise that. Out of South Australia has come this movement. But mission means us moving out of our comfort zone into places that where there is difference, because we pick up this idea of Jesus and coming from God sending Jesus into the world. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world and he gave his Son. How did he give his Son? We picked this up in John 1:14. The word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Now that word dwelling is like putting up his tent and camping in the community. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. But the idea of the word, the Son of God, becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. And that's the challenge of mission, is going and dwelling in amongst communities. Now, in today's world, there are at least 40% of the world who will not get an opportunity to hear about Jesus. They're in contexts where there is no access to a believing community, to resources, to Christian radio, to scripture in their own language that they could read or hear. It's a real challenge, 40%. And that amounts to numerous least reached people groups that we call them, where are less than 1% who are believers. So there's an incredible challenge for us to move out. Now, that's the overseas part. But you realise that God has brought many of these people groups to Adelaide and to Australia, and gives us an incredible opportunity for them to hear about Jesus in the schoolyard, in the workplace, in community. But mission does move involve. Oops, I went too fast. Mission does move us out of our comfort zones. And I should ask the kids, maybe some of the kids, maybe distracting them from their poster design. But I want to ask maybe the adults, what are those two types of food? Two types of food. Now, they're not delicacies you would find in Australia. I'll put that on the mark. These are foods that our cross-cultural workers have to have opportunity or get opportunity to eat as part of their work in Southern Africa. On the left-hand side is fried termites. We know what termites are like in Adelaide. We want to exterminate them. We want to get rid of them. We do everything to trap them. But yeah, fried termites. And the right-hand slide is Waipani worms. Now, there is a lot of talk these days around the health benefits of eating insects and other creatures, which is an interesting conversation. But these are one of the challenges when our intercultural workers move into these communities, is just having to find different foods to eat. In Cambodia, anyone know what the delicacy in Cambodia is? Grasshoppers or spiders? Tarantulas. I know people here are often scared of the tarantula. Here they're eating it fried in Cambodia. But that's just an example, and it's an example we can think about, and I share this not to scare, but to just give you a visual of what it's like to move into a different context, out of our comfort zone. For us in Nigeria, it was us drinking kunu, K-U-N-U. Now, most of you will never have heard the drink. Wouldn't that even when I tell you the English translation will understand it? It's fermented millet. Millet being a grain, and it's fermented. So it's quite a bitter taste. But that was the delicacy. That was the wine of the weddings, of social functions, of celebrations in our region of Nigeria. And that was a real challenge for us to step in. And how do we communicate in moving out of our comfort zone? How do we tackle that challenge of difference? Because different, the way we respond to difference says a lot about our God and about who we are. And this is the challenge that was being faced in the Jerusalem church when we came in our reading this morning. The challenge of the Gentiles. Now, being in the Jewish community, they kept apart from the Gentiles. They would have loved this meterage, this 1.5 metre strip. In fact, it would have even been longer. They would have kept their distance from them because there was a whole lot of rules and cultural practices that kept them apart, that they were not to mingle with Gentiles. Or there were consequences for that. And that's what you see in Peter's dream around the idea of cleanness and purity. They felt that if they went into that Jewish world, into the Gentile world, that will affect who they were. And there was a whole lot of rituals that were needed to make them clean again. To make them clean again. And to be restored into and accepted back into their own community. So this was an incredible challenge for the new church that had come out of Pentecost, which we celebrated a few weeks ago, of the being there when the Spirit came upon the nations. But here in the Jerusalem church, they were still wrestling with difference and how to engage the Gentiles. So our story, we pick up Peter's account in Acts 11 of what happened in Acts 10. Now, Acts 10 would have been rather long to read. Acts 11 is a good concise summary because Peter had to come back to Jerusalem and explain himself. Because Peter had gone to Cornelius' household. Now, Cornelius was a Roman centurion, a leader of 100 men, significant leader. And Cornelius had been seeking God, unbeknown to Peter. God had put together a plan for Cornelius to find out about God. I love this story because this is what's at the heart of mission. It's us making ourselves available and going, but who's putting it together? It's God. We sing about God the Waymaker. This is God making the way for Cornelius and his household to encounter Christ. Cornelius didn't know who Peter was or the believers, but God hatched a plan to make that possible. But it involved Peter stepping out of his comfort zone to go to Cornelius's household. God knew there was going to be a problem for Peter to do that, to build the bridge. To build a bridge to join Cornelius with Christ. And Peter was the one to build that bridge. Now, on the slide there is my early child, my teenage years. Sorry for that. My teenage years on the left-hand side was my playground. My dad came back from Papua New Guinea and picked up a senior engineering role with Westgate Bridge after they had done the inquiry when it had fallen down. So we had incredible access to that playground, in and out of the spans before they went up, climbing up the bridge before they put the last span in and joined both sides. Well, you wouldn't do any of that today, would you? It would all be off-site and helmets and high vests and everything. But we had a ball. But as I've reflected on this journey of God using us to be the bridge, I go back to my childhood experiences around seeing Westgate, and I look at what the bridge has done to Melbourne. In opening up the east and the west, that was an incredible division in the city and held back Melbourne. But Melbourne's been able to grow thanks to that bridge. Now they're even talking of putting a fourth lane on there, which my dad would cringe at because of the volume of traffic and what it's meant. This incredible bridge across this divide that existed. And this is what Peter was doing. But God knew that Peter wouldn't have just gone and done it. Even though Peter had followed Jesus, had spoken and understood the Great Commission, having been told, you know, by Jesus what the responsibility was after his ascension, having been there at Pentecost and seen the nations touched, Peter was still hesitant to actually reach across. So he actually had to have this vision as a way of waking him up, of stirring him to think about moving out of his comfort zone. But we know in this story that Peter wasn't the only one wrestling with this, because the leadership in Jerusalem found it very hard to accept what Peter had done. And you see in verse 2 of our reading that the circumcised believers, the Jews, criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them? How dare you? How dare you go do that? You've broken all the rules. So Peter was under the pump because he had stepped out of his comfort zone. So Peter then had to relay the story, retell the story in a way to take them forward. And that's what you have in this part of Acts 11, is Peter relaying this vision that had taken place. Peter wouldn't have done that naturally. It was God wakening him through the Spirit to be ready when God organized the servant from Cornelius to come knocking on his door and say, "Can you come and tell us about this Jesus?" And be you know, God was getting him ready for that invitation to be part of the extension of the kingdom. You know, and in Acts 11, 8 to 10, we pick up the significant part of this for Peter. The challenge in this vision that Peter says, "I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.'" Here's God telling Peter in this dream, in this vision, to not call anything impure that God has made clean. God's opening up this to be a clean pathway, not an unclean pathway, which was culturally there for Peter. God is transforming Peter's thinking around the Gentile-Jewish relationship. And for Peter, he couldn't just take it once. It happened three times. And then it was all pulled up to heaven again. And he sort of woke up. And it's interesting, the timing of this vision and the immediacy of the impact of that, because these men from Cornelius' household stopped at his house. And the Spirit then told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's household. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in the house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter." God the Waymaker. This is what excites me about mission. But are we prepared to participate in what God's doing and move out of our comfort zone and move and deal in the world of difference? It's a challenge for us because we do not like moving out of our comfort zone. So in Peter, in taking this up, he displays an openness to what God is doing, to God's vision, not worrying about the cultural implications. Peter showed courage here to step out of his comfort zone, just like our intercultural workers do in going to the places that they do for the sake of the gospel and dealing with the difference that they encounter. But as they go, they display openness and acceptance. And acceptance here is the ability to communicate value, worth, and esteem to another person. You know, if we turned up and we said, "Yeah, well, yuck, your food is yuck. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat termites because I don't eat them at home." What's that actually communicating to the people group that you're relating to? You're not a value. I don't value what's part of you. I embrace and participate and build the bridges. So I'm going to eat your food. Now that's a concrete example. And it's not always as easy as that for our workers or workers to go in doing that. There are some incredible challenges in. There are spaces where people will go, "Well, is that too far? Or is that..." I'm not going to go there. Particularly in the spiritual realm. Do I enter a temple or a mosque, or do I stay outside? Do I go to ceremonies, or do I come alongside? So these are the questions that our intercultural workers are facing on a daily basis in their work. But at all times, they're thinking about how do I communicate openness and acceptance That idea that God and Jesus is dwelling amongst you and accepts you. It's a real challenge for our workers. So Peter then displays this openness by going, where he then in verse 14 to 16 demonstrates that he will bring a message through which you and all your household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Right? So by the openness and the acceptance, they were willing to listen. So you've come. Tell us more. And as we see, the Holy Spirit was there amongst them. And it's interesting that in some of our context, this is what's happening. Just by participating, sharing life together, things happen where the Spirit brings this, comes upon the context. We're seeing Buddhist monks come to Christ. We're seeing chiefs in Islamic context come to Christ in the work of global interaction in these least reached people groups. Why? Because people have come alongside, displayed this openness, acceptance, which has impacted on the hearing of the word and the stories of Jesus as the Spirit touches lives. And this is an incredible encounter for the Jerusalem church, because Peter goes and sees the Spirit working amongst them. Working amongst them. So he's blown away that this Spirit is not confined just to the Jews. This is for all people. For all people. So if God, and this is where Peter goes with this in his speech to those criticising him and to the Jerusalem leaders. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? I can't be a barrier to that happening. I can't be part of putting up a blockage for that. Because this Spirit is for everyone. And this is a really transformative moment for Peter and for the community, which you see in verse 18. Thinking what those verses 1 to 2, where there was real criticism, look at how it finished. Once they had heard the story, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." What a transformation. The objections just melted. This is transformative for the church in Jerusalem. This primarily Jewish community welcoming Gentiles and engaging Gentiles. And it's from here that the church really starts to grow in the region. And also, it transformed Peter into being a leader in this space in the church. And in Acts 15, we pick up this a little bit more, where again, they're still debating these questions. There's still this tension around the issue. So Peter's speech in Acts 11 doesn't totally fix the problem. It continues when it comes to what does it mean? Okay, yep, they can believe, but to join us, they've got to do our practices, which in those days, to be a Jew, you needed to be circumcised as a... circumcision isn't pleasant as adults, particularly for males. And so therefore, but the expectation was them to become culturally like us again, another barrier. But it's Peter that speaks up here in Acts 15. Again, when they're discussing this. And again, it reflects the growth in Peter from that experience with Cornelius. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? What a great question. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. It's more about the faith in Christ than the practical physical elements of life that could have been barriers. Peter is transformed. It's God who transforms us. And as I think about our local context and encourage you in our context as we face difference and diversity, which is ever increasing for us as believers here, let's keep some of these things in mind that Peter experienced as we traverse. And in finishing, I'd like to just share one of stories from our Yao folk to show the importance of actually having a healthy response to difference, or we could end up more and more isolated. Now, the Yao are in southern Africa. And so this is a recent story where some of the Yao women were in a Bible study on the prodigal son. So we know we're all familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. These women from the Yao community wanted to focus on parenting rather than repentance and rebellion, which was the focus of our worker. Even the pigs were not seen as real pigs to the Yao woman. Rather, they were understood to represent evil spirits of anger, hate and fear. Now, that's another whole topic that we don't even face in Australia, the whole world of evil spirits. But the spirit world is very real in these least reached people groups. Had the story continued, the Yao women believed that the older brother, consumed with jealousy, would have ended up with the pigs, haunted by the evil spirits. Not quite the ending. So there was some good discussion and they discovered the lessons. But our worker was able to pull back because she was able to recognise the differences and have to come back and revisit the story. It's very similar in a sense to Peace Child. Some of you will remember Peace Child. If you haven't, worth exploring. Where a tribe in West Papua sort of took Judas as the hero in the Jesus story because they valued treachery. Something very different. But God opened up a way to tell the story in a way that they could see Jesus as a peace child when they came to settle a tribal war that had gone on for months and months and months. God unlocked that. So tackling difference is important if we're going to engage in sharing God's love within the church, as the Jerusalem church displayed, but also beyond the four walls. So I wonder what your takeaway is for our Australian context. What your takeaway is. As you reflect on this global scenario and challenges, as we think about our own context of what difference is. Australia is not coping with difference at all well. It's a challenging space, particularly for minority groups of all sorts. And it's going to be part of our Australian Christian journey in the next decade. How do we respond to difference? How do we manage that? Do we take God's perspective, or we just take our cultural perspective and what we know? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the God that you love all people. Thank you that you have equipped us to respond to difference, to reaching out and moving out of our comfort zones. Father, it's not easy to do that. Father, we thank you for the workers within Global Interaction, but also the other agencies that we know, others from this church or connected with this church, who are stepping out into areas for the sake of the gospel. Father, give us a healthy response to difference. Help us to really reach out to those who don't necessarily fit our way of seeing the world, our roadmap of the world. Father, help us to demonstrate that love and acceptance in a way that will take them on the journey to find you as we have found you. Help us to accept one another as you have accepted us. In your name we pray. Amen.